Today's going to be a little different. We've got just a bunch of various and sundry things to talk about. First thing, I've just got to talk about Peru. I had the privilege, I did not get to go with Brad and Gina, but I went to Peru in the summer of 1987, spent 10 weeks down there. And what a beautiful, beautiful land. And what a beautiful people is. Anything that you say may sound trite, but the mountains are as gorgeous as those pictures. The valleys are just breathtaking. The people are so striking. And just you, if you watch the video and the pictures, the colorful garments that are worn and the culture there. And so I got to spend 10 weeks there. And it was one of the richest times of my life. Went back again in 88, 89. And just a wonderful, wonderful experience. So thank you for tugging at my heart just with the pictures that you showed. So very thankful for that. Andy Page, would you come up here? Allison, if you're willing, would you come with him? Those of you who don't know, Andy was deployed, I was looking for the right word, was deployed to the Middle East about 11 months ago. Is that right?
Just a little over 10.
A little over 10 months ago. And we prayed for him, we prayed for them, and we sent them out. And as you can see, Andy is back. And we are so thankful to see you guys together and to have you a part with us right now. So, you know, you have been prayed for, probably not enough, but you have been prayed for, and every time that we would hear of you, it was just like a breath of fresh air, knowing what was going on. And then when I saw the pictures from the airport, just really so glad to be standing here with our brother and our friend and to see you guys back together. And I understand you have something.
I do. So, I'm thankful for everybody that prayed for us. We got boxes of goodies in the mail. I get messages from people off and on that were, I mean, it was just really encouraging. And so just as a token of my appreciation for all of you as a body. So this is a flag and a certificate that we flew over Roll 2 medical facility at Al Asad Air Base there in Iraq. So,
amen. Amen. Thank you. And so let's just give thanks and pray a blessing. Father, we thank you that it's so easy to take for granted when you answer prayer, but you did. We prayed for you to watch over Andy while he was gone and to bring him back safely, and you have done that. Even when we don't see it, you are working. And thank you, Father. And now help Andy as he re-engages and re-enters into a culture that he's not been a part of for the last year. So bless him, bless Allison. Lord, may your hand be upon them. And thank you so much for your goodness. And it's so good to see them here together. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Would you just set that right down there on that front row? Last week, I talked some about the concept of church membership, and we're not going there today. I'd said that we were going to talk about that more. But what we have been doing over the last few weeks is a series I'm calling Life Together. And most of us, if we've committed our lives to Jesus Christ, we have bought into the idea that I have a relationship with God, and I need to develop that relationship, I need to grow. But there's more than that, because we're not just called to an individual personal relationship with God, we're called into the body of Christ, we're called into community. And part of walking with God is learning to walk with his people and walking with one another. And we live in a world that is incredibly dysfunctional. You go all the way back to the creation of man, when sin entered the world, in the very first family, there was anger and there was a murder. And so families have suffered violence because of disagreements, because of the flesh because of sin entering in. And all throughout the people of God, we've seen the failure. And people sometimes look at the church, and we have this idea that way back in the early church, they must have had it figured out. They struggled too. If you read through the book of Corinthians, there was conflict. When you read through the other books, so often there was conflict as the people of God wrestled with how do we learn to practice life together. And so that's one of the reasons that we've been endeavoring to talk about this and to learn how do we do it. Now, there is a word. It's a familiar word to many of us, but it is the word koinonia. And the word koinonia, generally, most often, we translate as what? How many of you know? What? Fellowship. It's the word that is translated fellowship. But there is a tendency when we see this word to think of coffee and donuts. You know? Yeah, we're going to sit around and just have a little snack together. And that is fellowship. But what the word literally means is to participate together, to share together. So when we break bread together, we are sharing together a meal. When we work together, we are in fellowship working. And I wanted to share this passage with you because today a lot of what we're doing is related to missions. We've got Brad and Gina with us. We're doing the chili cook-off. And I wanted you to understand that this is a part of practicing life together. Let's read this. Paul writes to the Philippians church and he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your, say that word, partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Do you know what that word is? Koinonia. Because of your fellowship, because you have shared in. So Paul is saying to the church that they have partnered with him in the gospel. And so we are called to walk with God. We're called to walk with one another, but we are also called into fellowship and partnering with one another for the sake of mission and purpose. We are, as a church, as a people of God, we are partners for the sake of the gospel. Now, the ministry of any church is multifaceted. We love one another. We train up our children. When we come together, we pray, we sing. And I used to cringe when I would hear people say, well, the most important thing is, and they would say this, or the most important, and so we're starting to quibble over what the most important thing is. The truth is, our call is multifaceted. Our call in loving God and loving one another involves loving our neighbor, loving the world, involves loving the children, loving our husbands and wives, and learning how to live out this life that God has put in us together. So I wanted to give you just very briefly five ways that we partner in the gospel. And this is just bullet point, okay? So here we go. Number one, we partner. Here we go. Next slide, are we stuck? Okay. We partner in giving. All right. Did we crash? Apparently so. All right. We partner through giving. One of the things that we do, we have offerings where we give to missions. We have chili cook-offs. And by the way, if you're here today and you didn't bring any money and you have no way to, don't worry about it. Share the meal. Have fellowship with us over the meal. But if you have something to give, contribute so that we can all give together to our missionaries. The chili cook-off, all that money that we get from that goes toward Christmas gifts and supplying the needs of our missionaries over the Christmas season. So number one is we partner in giving through our offerings and through even over here, we've talked about this before, the baskets up front, those are for benevolence giving. Maybe you guys don't know, but in the last few months, through our gifts, through your gifts, there are people in here that have given sacrificially to help folks like Jason and Lynn get their lives back in order. And they have been able to get a place to live. They've gotten another car to operate. Many of you gave sacrificially, and we have helped Craig. Kevin really invested his time. Many of you know Craig normally would sit right down here in front. And Craig was able to get his commercial driver's license restored. He just got a job, and since Monday, he has been on the road. And he has gone to Arizona and back. Currently, he's somewhere in South Alabama or South Georgia, you know, living his best life right now. And that is because God's people give. You are partners in seeing lives restored through giving. Another way that we partner is we partner in going. By going on the mission field, we have the chance to partner. Currently, I was just thinking about it today. We got Al, Brother Al is in Thailand or Laos. I'm not sure where he is today. But he's somewhere over there in Southeast Asia, along with a small team of people that have gone with him. Jared Miller, one of our young adults, left yesterday to lead a missions trip to Ecuador, where they're doing medical clinics and service like that. Daniel and Lacey just got on a plane yesterday to go to Thailand for Rescue One. Aaron and Hannah are going to be leaving over the winter to go back to Thailand to serve there. And next summer, we are going to be taking a mission trip to Paraguay to work with the Acevedos. You have the opportunity of going and serving. And let me just mention, can I mention you guys? All right. So we've got Isaac and Erica and their family right up here are going over to Thailand January. Is that the plan? Going over and going to serve 3 months over there, January, February, and March. So you have the opportunity not just to hear about missions, but to be a contributor and a participant through giving and through going. What else? We partner in sending. When God calls, and one of the things that happens is we talk about missions, many times God stirs people's hearts and they start having a passion. That's what happened to you guys, to the Shaws. God called you guys out of the United States to go and serve. And so currently we have Al, Stephen, and Kathleen who are over in the Philippines serving full-time. Brian Gray is currently in Thailand serving there. We sent Tom and Suani back to Thailand. They came here, served with us, and now we have sent them back, and they are serving there. And Isaac and Erica, you guys get to go for 3 months, as I said a minute ago. So one of the ways that we can serve is by sending people, supporting them, praying for them, and that leads to number four, we partner in praying. And I want to encourage you, if you don't do this, find a way to build a prayer list. You know, there's some people that go, I don't like to be real structured in my prayer. The problem is, if you don't develop some systematic way of praying, you end up waking up every day and just praying the same little cliches. Oh, Lord, bless me, guide me through the day, watch over me, watch over my children. God is good, God is great. You know, we just say our little cliches. But if you really want to partner in the gospel, develop a prayer list and every day pray for a different person. Or if you really want to get into it, have a list that you pray through every day. What I tend to do is pray for different people every day so that I can focus on them. Whether you do it with 3x5 cards or you keep a notebook or you keep a journal or something like this, find a way to keep track of the names of people that have been sent out so that you can pray for them, and in that way you can participate. And by the way, years ago, you had no way of knowing what was going on the mission field. You know, when we first went to Thailand, we would send a letter to Thailand. It would take 2 weeks to get there. It would take 2 weeks to get back. So the only news we had was at best a month old because we had no access to making phone calls over there and back. Now we've got the internet. So you can stay in touch with missionaries. You can get there. If you're on Facebook, man, we get posts all the time about what God is doing. And so you can pray up-to-date prayers, and you can communicate and bless. And then last, we partner in serving. We do ministry regularly. And so when I say we partner in the gospel, it's not just over there. We partner right here. We partner in teaching our children the ways of Jesus. Next Saturday, we've got the Fall Festival. And the Fall Festival is an opportunity to bless our church family, but as well to invite the whole community. It's an opportunity to have fun, to get to know, and to build relationships with the people that God would bring here. And so don't just sit there and go, oh, missions, that sounds awesome. You have the opportunity, as Paul said, to be partners, to be sharers, to be participants in the gospel. So what I want to do is just take 2 minutes. I want us to pray for what God is doing in missions throughout the world, specifically in and through Lighthouse. So I'm going to do something that's always dangerous, but I'm going to do it anyway. And that is, I'm going to invite, if any of you want to, and there's a chance that none of you will do it, but there's also a chance that some of you will. I want to ask, I'm going to start the prayer, and if anybody wants to pray for any of our missionaries, any of our people that are out serving or going, stand up so people can hear you and pray for them. Just lift them up before the Lord. Do it quickly. When you're praying in a group, that's not the time to pray a 10-minute prayer, but just to pray boldly for God to move, for God to bless, and then let someone else pray. So we're going to do that, and then I'm going to wrap us up in just a minute and a half to 2 minutes. So, Father, we ask that your hand would be upon those that have been sent. And now, Father, as we together, your church, we lift up our missionaries, our sent ones, those that are serving in other places. We ask, Father, for your hand to be upon them. So, church, anybody feel led, just stand up and pray for our sent ones. Amen. Amen. You didn't hear Donnie and Dana in Canada. I didn't mention them. Sent ones. Yes, Lord. Remember, stand up, pray loudly. Yes. 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 Father, we ask. First, we thank you for the privilege that by touching your heart, we can touch the world. We can touch nations. We thank you, Father, for the work that's being done. And I knew that I would forget people, but Lord, for Donnie and Dana in Canada, for what's going on in Thailand, in the Philippines, in South America, in Paraguay, and in Peru, and on and on and on. Father, may your gospel go forth. May men and women come to know you. May you change hearts, change lives, change nations. Thank you that we have the privilege of partnering with you in this, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining with me in that. All right, now what I'm going to do, I want to hit just a couple of things. I knew today was going to be a day where we didn't have time to do a full-blown message because of all that we got going on. But I want to follow up on one aspect of last week, and I want to give you guys something to chew on for the next week. Okay, so last week, one of the things I talked about is the word commitment. Commitment. The idea of commitment is that we make a big, we set our face, we say, this is what I'm going to do, and then we begin to live it out. And that one of the things that I said is that many times the mistake that people make is they try to make a commitment every day. Okay, I'm going to serve God today. The idea is we make a big commitment, and then we manage the commitment daily. You don't wake up every day and go, do I want to be married today? No. You settle that, and then you live out the details. You figure out, how do I structure my life so that I do that well? We don't make a decision, am I going to be a Christian every day? We shouldn't be making a decision every day on whether I'm going to walk with God that day or go to church. We just need to implement the steps of what it means to live that out. So what I wanted to do was walk through a passage that I think amplifies this. So if you got your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We'll have some of the verses up here, but I really want you to handle your own Bible, get it out, take a look at it. So if you will, I'm going to give you three steps in living life with Jesus and with the church. So first is step number one, okay? Everybody read with me Romans 12. I'm only going to read verse 1, but 12, 1 and 2 go together. And by the way, if you have never memorized Scripture, this is the first Scripture that I ever memorized, and I still can't do it right because I've memorized it in four different translations, so now I'm totally confused every time I try to quote it. So I'm going to read it. But I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The first step in our walking with God is complete surrender, where we present ourselves to God. We say, God, I'm yours. God, I'm yours. This is the big deal. This is the big commitment. This is laying our lives before God. This is total surrender. Years ago, I don't tell jokes, but I'm going to tell you a little jokey type story just to make the point because it's so absurd that it'll at least get the point across. Yeah, many of you have heard the tale about the chicken and the pig who really think the farmer treats them well. They decide they want to do something to bless the farmer who's taken such good care. And so the chicken comes up with this idea, and he says to the pig, hey, I think we should make him a bacon and eggs breakfast. And the pig says, for you, that's a donation. For me, that's total commitment. That's what God is calling us to. Total commitment, where we say, without reservation, Lord, I'm yours. And he actually uses this phrase, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The living sacrifice, we are placed on the altar. What would they do in the Old Testament? They would take the body of a lamb, the body of a dove, and they would lay it on the altar. The difference is, you're alive. You're alive. And you're offering your life as a sacrifice to God. And you're saying, Lord, I'm yours now. Whatever you want, whatever you want to do in me, I offer you my mind that I would think your thoughts. I offer you my hands that I would serve you. I offer you my feet that they would carry your message, your love, wherever you would send me. I offer every fiber of my being to you. That is the big commitment that we start with. And I dare say that there's some of you who have never done that. You've never surrendered your life, surrendered, presented yourself to God. And that's the first step. We present ourselves to him. The idea is everything I have now belongs to God. My home, my time, my money, my words, everything I have is God's to use as he would see fit. So that's step number one. Step number two, Romans 12, 4 and 5. I'm not going to go through the whole passage again. But step number two, listen to what, okay, here's the thought. Once we're his, we find our place, our function in the body. What is the body of Christ? It is what? The church. We find our place among his people. Where do we fit? Where do our gifts plug in? So Romans 12, 4 and 5. For as in one body we have many members, the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Whether you've ever understood it, and if you've been here, you've heard me say it multiple times, the picture of the body is that the members are the parts. But every part of the body must be vitally connected to the rest of the body, so that life can flow, and so that every part of the body has function and purpose. God created you. God put, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he has put his spirit in you, and with that, he has gifted you with abilities that are yours to serve him. In 1 Peter, Paul goes through a list of all sorts of gifts. We're not going to do that right now. But 1 Peter, what he does is he says, some of you speak and some of you serve. Have you noticed that? There's some people that enjoy talking. They enjoy being in a position where they get to be on a platform or maybe lead a small group, lead a Bible study. There's some people that is the way God has gifted them. And then there's some of you that go, I could never do that. And what God has gifted you is the ability to serve in some way. Behind the scenes, but there is a place for each and every follower of Jesus Christ. So we need to find our place in the body, a place where we can love others, where we can encourage others, where we can teach others, where we can build up others. Have you found your place? Then the third, and this is the one that is exhaustive. I don't mean exhausting, but it's exhaustive. And we're going to read a lengthy passage in just a minute. But after the passage about giftings, teaching, leading, mercy, service, then, step number three, we've got to work out the details of daily life. You go, well, yeah, but haven't you? No, the idea is we live out the Spirit of God in our lives, in every relationship, in our workplace, wherever we go, we are his, and God uses us. And what Paul does is he gives us just instruction after instruction. And what I want you to do, we're going to look in Romans 12, verse 9. And I want you to hear this. And you're not going to get it all. But I want you to hear, in 9 verses, he gives 18 different instructions. 18 different things. You think that the idea is, okay, this is a checklist and you need to be doing these things every day? No. What he's doing is he's teaching them. He's laying in their hearts and in their minds, these are the things that you need to keep in your soul so that you begin to live these things out as opportunity comes. So here we go. I want you to read Romans 12, 9 through 18 with me. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty or arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. There are, I said 18, there's actually more, but I just summarized it. There are at least 18 different instructions there. So I want to give you homework this week, okay? I want you to take your Bible, and every day this week, I want you to read that passage. Romans 12, verse 1, down through verse 18. What I want you to do, notice the big commitment at the beginning. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. I want you to say, have I done that? Have I fully surrendered to God? Then the second one, step number two, was to find your place in the body. And I want you to see, am I using the gifts that God has given me? Am I where God wants me? Am I plugged in? But then the third one, and I really want you to read this every day. Think through it, because, and ask God to show you any of those instructions that He's wanting you to do in some area of your life. Bless those who persecute you. Are you going through a difficult time where someone's criticizing you? Maybe you need to bless them. Give honor to one another. Show affection toward others in the body of Christ. Give to the saints in need. And I'm just going to highlight six of them, and this is bullet points, okay? So six quick thoughts. Jennifer, if you can go ahead and go to number one. We are to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That verse 9 and 10. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. The picture here is, don't be a phony. You know, we can smile at people and say, oh, great to see you. What he's saying is really care about one another. Really care about the people that God has put in your life. That last phrase, love one another with brotherly affection, what that's saying is with your heart. Not just, oh, what was his name again? But you really get to know and care for the people God puts in your life. Look at number two. Another just quick thought. We are to honor one another. We live in a culture where it's fun to tear people down. It's fun to come up with a put down and to mock people, to be sarcastic. And what this is saying is do the opposite. Look for an opportunity to lift people up. Look for someone that you can encourage. In fact, in just a minute, when we go to lunch, I want you, and I'll try to remind you, to look for two or three people that you can speak words of honor. I really appreciate this about you. I'm really thankful. It might be someone in your family. It might be someone that you've been watching at church serving from afar. But look for someone you can honor. Next one, number three. We should share with God's people when they are in need. Okay, we get a chance to do that through giving to the Chili Cook-Off. But also, when you see someone in need, what he's saying is don't be tight-fisted. Learn to be generous. When someone has a need, be quick to step in. Number four. We are to practice hospitality. Let me read that. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Make your home, your time, his. We have a tendency, I do this, we have a tendency to want to build a fortress around ourselves and to say, all right, I put in my day job and now I'm locked in and I'm on the tube. No, find ways to invest your time in other people. Open your home, meet people for dinner, find ways to show hospitality and love to people in practical ways. Number five, we must join with others in their trials and triumphs. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. When someone's going through a great time, when you rejoice with them, we rejoice to see Andy back. Man, good thing. But when someone is going through a difficult time, we get alongside of them. When someone is grieving, when someone is hurting, we need to figure out how to step in. And many times, we miss the opportunity. We ask this question, and we go, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And there are times when I've done that, when you've done it, where we've been paralyzed by not being sure what to do, and we've missed the opportunity. And what God's saying is, show up. Bless them. Rejoice with them. If they're struggling, just be there with them and weep with those who weep. Last, number six, do everything within your power to maintain right relationships. I actually did a whole sermon on this about 4 weeks ago. I just wanted to hit this again because this is another one of those verses that I memorized years ago, Romans 12, 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you or on me, live peaceably with everyone. The picture is, hey, you know that there's a problem between you and someone else, you go to them. You seek to be reconciled. And you say, yeah, well, they won't forgive me, they won't talk to me. You do everything in your power. You pray for them, you bless them, you do everything in your power. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Man, so I just gave you six things out of about 18. But I want you this week to spend some time reading, allowing God's word to shape you and to mold you. Can you do that? Can you do that? Amen. Right, we're about to move into something that's always special. Once a month, we do the Lord's Supper together. So I want to invite our servers to come up. Todd, if you can help to distribute with that. You all know that the Lord's Supper is basically the family meal, and we've actually moved it. We were doing it on the first Sunday of the month. Now we're doing it on the second Sunday so it can go along with the meal that we're doing here. And the picture in this is that we are remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read it to you. We do this every time. It's the scripture that I always invoke here. But 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And so take the bread and eat it. "In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Now, how do we do this? Should we be really somber? Should we be really joyful? The answer is both. It's a heavy thing to think that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, died on the cross for my sins. It's a heavy thing. But on the other hand, it is a joyous thing to believe that God so loved the world and loved you and me that he would do this so that we can be restored and so that we can know him, so that we can walk with him, so we can have eternal life. So we need to carry a mixture. The weight of our sin, but the joy of the goodness of God, and he loved us enough to give his life for us. So I'm going to ask you to just take a moment. Go before the Lord. If there's any sin in your life, now's the time to lay it down. Now's the time to get rid of it. Now's the time to confess it. And once you've dealt with any sin, now is the time to rejoice in the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God the Father who sent his Son that we might know him and be forgiven. So just take a minute before the Lord. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that in your holiness that you showed us grace. Lord, as we take the supper today, we remember you, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And we remember that you have a plan for us and a place for us. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. You come to one of the stations up here. You take the bread. You take the cup. Don't partake of it yet. Go back to your seat. And what we will do is we will kind of circle up and take it together. So we invite you to come, receive the elements, and then go back and wait. And we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together.